Turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. We'll be looking at verse 8. Very typical passage to talk about Christmas. I want to ask you a question, though. If an alien from outer space was overlooking the world at Christmas time, and they were wanting to know why all this fuss, how would you explain it? Well, I hope that each one in here would explain it by saying it is the time of Jesus' birth. But I know there's going to be some Santa Claus and there's going to be some other stuff in there. But just in that. And you try to explain this person who has no idea what we're doing at Christmas. And all of a sudden they say, well, why? And you say, well, because Jesus, of God, sent his son to this earth in the form of a baby to die for us. And he's going to look around and say, why would he do that? And that's a very interesting question. Why? Why Christmas? We don't deserve this. But yet it's become more and more about us and less about God. A Sunday school teacher asked her class of kindergartners to draw a picture of the manger scene of Bethlehem. In the corner of one of the students' sketch was this very plump, jolly-looking fellow. And thank you, sir. The teacher said, tell me about this person. Oh, that's the round John Virgin. Too often in our efforts to celebrate Christmas, we get confused about why and what and even who we're celebrating. And that's why today we're going to look at the reasons for Christmas. Why are we here? Why do we give gifts? Why is it that we spend a month and a half, or some people 2 or 3 months, decorating, preparing this time of year? In the message this morning, let's just look at the passage. Verse 8. We have problems? All right. Verse 8. Just catch up when we... Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In this message this morning, in this passage, the angels delivered to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth a message of hope. And this is why we're here celebrating this morning, because of this message. Christmas is all about God sending his son to the earth. Christmas was not man's idea. Now, the things around Christmas was, but Christmas itself is God's idea. Christmas wasn't man's initiative. We didn't set out and say, we need a great holiday. Let's think of a reason why we can celebrate. Christmas came about because of God. And I want you us to think about the reasons why God did what he did at Christmas. The first thing that we find here is Christmas occurred because of God's desire. It came because of his desire to embrace us with his love. To embrace us with his love. Good news that will be to all people. I hate giving bad news to anybody, especially those people that I love and I like. It pains me. But he had some, but you know, if you get good news, you hit that phone, you hit the Facebook, you hit everything, and all of a sudden you're wanting to tell everybody, right? Well, this is God. God was saying, here my son is, he's come, finally the prophecies have all been foretold, and here he is, and the angels gave this message that he was here. You know, the world is full of people who feel unloved and feel lonely, especially at this time of year. Pollsters say that 1 out of 5 of people feel that life is meaningless. Now, if that's true, there should be some of y'all out here that may feel like life is meaningless. People do get lonely. People do get discouraged and saddened. You know, an advertisement was placed in a local newspaper and it met with an overwhelming result. He says, for $5, I'll just listen to you for 30 minutes. People called over and over. They just needed someone to talk to. They felt alone. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us, each one of us, as if there was only one of us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should never be truly alone. You should never be lonely. You know, a young man sent a love letter to his girlfriend. Darling, I'll climb the highest mountain for you. I'll sail the wildest ocean. I'll cross the hottest desert just to see you. P.S. I'll be over Sunday night if it's not raining. Well, it kind of takes back all the things that he said, didn't it? We chuckle because of his fickleness, about how what he says and but what he actually does. And we feel bad for the girl who, like all of us, longs for love in action, not just empty promises. Let me tell you something. God does not give us empty promises of love. When he says that he loves us, he loves us. He embraces us with his love. He loved us enough to... God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we were yet in our sins. That's how much he loved us. Now, you can tell somebody you love them all you want to, but unless you show them, they ain't going to really mean anything. God showed us how much he loved us. In Romans 8, it tells us how much he loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He not only loves us, but promises that nothing can ever take that love away. Nothing can ever separate us. So Christmas occurred because of God's love for me and for you. This is something very special. And so when we see the Christmas story, we realize that that little baby is God himself. He came and put himself in the form of a human, and a human baby no less, for us, because he loved us. Not everybody loves me. Not everybody likes me. Or you. That's the way it is. But it doesn't really matter when we know that God does. It occurred because of God's desire to encourage us with his peace. It says, the angels told the shepherds, do not be afraid. The shepherds were fearful because they had encountered the glory of the Lord. Now, I'm not sure me and you can actually understand what that means, to actually encounter the glory of the Lord. They knew their sinfulness. The shepherds trembled in the presence of God. But Jesus came so that we might no longer fear of God's judgment and condemnation, but we might have peace in our hearts as the result of knowing His forgiveness. We have nothing to fear from God as believers. Nothing. Many today don't know and don't believe that salvation comes from Jesus Christ alone. I know many of you won't know this group. I barely do. I just know their name because it's such an odd name. They're called the Smashing Pumpkins. Anybody heard of them? Yeah, some of you have. The Smashing Pumpkins. They had a lot of hit songs, and yet despite their accomplishments, their drummer was busted on heroin possession charges, and their backup guitarist overdosed. And their struggles is portrayed in a song that they had, and it was called Bullet with Butterfly Wings. You say, Brother Randy, where is this going? Well, let me read you the lyrics. Despite all my rage, I'm still a rat in a cage. Then someone will say, what is lost can never be found. Despite all my rage, I'm still a rat in a cage. I'm naked and nothing but an animal. Tell me I'm the only one. Tell me there's no other one. Jesus was an only son. Tell me I'm the chosen one. Jesus was the only son for you. Despite my rage, I'm still a rat in a cage. And I still believe I cannot be saved. Wow. Do you believe that you cannot be saved? Are you living your life in fear about what's going to happen next? Are you hopeless and without direction? Jesus Christ will and can save you. Come to Him as you are. You don't have to change anything except just give your heart and your life to Him. In Romans 5:1 it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to fear the glory of God in our hearts and our lives. All Christmas also occurred because of God's desire to enrich us with His joy. He said they had great joy. I got to admit, I can be a Grinch. What was that eye roll for? I saw my neighbor across the street, who I will not mention. And when I saw thy neighbor, he was up on the ladder putting all the Christmas lights up. I'm going, no! Because I knew what was coming. Yeah, I can be a Grinch. But you know, a couple days before Christmas, I start getting the Christmas spirit and the joy, but it just takes me a while to get it. I think we miss out on the greatest joy of all. And it goes far beyond Christmas lights and giving a gift to each other and the food. Although those are pretty good things. Great joy. There was a large stone cathedral in Europe, and there was a very large, magnificent pipe organ. And it was a Saturday afternoon, and the custodian was making one final check of the choir and the organ. And the organ loft was high in the balcony at the back of the church, and he was startled, and he heard some footsteps coming up the stone stairway. And he thought all the doors were locked and no one was around, so he turned to see a man, and he was in slightly tattered traveling clothes, coming towards him. And the stranger goes, excuse me, sir, I've come from quite a distance to see the great organ in this cathedral, and would you mind opening the console that I just might get a look at it? The custodian at first refused, but the stranger seemed so eager, and finally he says, okay, I'll let you look at it. He goes, may I sit on the bench? The request of the stranger was met with absolute refusal. Says, what if the organist came in and found you sitting there? I'd probably lose my job. But again, the stranger was so persistent that the custodian gave in, but only for a moment. The custodian noticed that the stranger seemed to be very much at home at the organ bench. So he was not completely surprised when he asked by the stranger to be allowed to play the organ. No, definitely not. No one is allowed to play it except a cathedral organist. The man's face fell and his deep disappointment was obvious. He reminded the custodian how far he'd come and assured him that no damage would be done. Finally, the custodian relented and told the stranger he could play the instrument, but only a few notes, and then he'd have to leave. The stranger pulled out some stops, began to play, and suddenly the cathedral was filled with some of the most beautiful music you could ever imagine. The music seemed to transport him heavenward. In what seemed all too short a time, the stranger stopped playing and slid off the organ and started down the stairway. It was one of the most beautiful things he'd ever heard in his life. Wait, that was the most beautiful music I'd ever heard in this cathedral. Who are you? And the stranger turned for just a moment and replied, Mendelssohn. The man was none other than Felix Mendelssohn, one of the greatest organists and composers of the 19th century. The custodian was alone now. He was in this great big stone building, and the beautiful organ music was still ringing in his ears, and he said, just think. I almost kept the master from playing his music in this cathedral. Each one of us has the opportunity to have a personal relationship with the master of the universe, Jesus Christ. Let's not keep him from playing his music within us and letting him be master of our lives. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life, is to bring you joy. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to know the peace and the joy that only he can bring a life. Notice that the angels not only spoke of joy, but great joy. You may be struggling through life right now. You may be going through all the issues of life and discouraging things. But let me tell you, that's not the life that God wants for each one of us. In the midst of all these storms of life, you can find joy. Great joy. Let the Master play His part in your heart and your life. And what better time to play this, let Him play, than at Christmas, a celebration of the One who came for us. Christmas occurred by God's design. It wasn't an accident. In sending His Son to earth, it was God's design that Christ would fulfill the Scripture. In the town of David, in Bethlehem, the angels referred to the fact that the birth of Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy of Micah 5:2. That He'd be born in Bethlehem. There are about 300 prophecies of the first coming of Messiah, 500 prophecies of His second coming, and all of them made hundreds of years before the birth of Christ Himself. Imagine, I want you to imagine this, that we bring together 40 different artists from all over, all kinds of backgrounds, all styles, all artists with various skills. Then we take a large canvas and we cut it into little pieces. And we give each of these artists a little piece of canvas. And say, sir, would you take this one and you take this one and you take this small piece, you take this big piece, until we have given out 40 pieces of this canvas. Now you go to the room and you close the door and you go to that room and you go to that studio until we have sent them all on their way to a private studio. And now each one of you in privacy, without consulting one another, sit there and search your heart and mind, open it up to the leadership of God, and then paint on that canvas the impressions of you have of what God would have you paint in a picture. What would you come back with? Well, my idea would be you'd have a mess. That would be the idea that I'd have. They would paint maybe a feat of nature, some of people, some abstract, some beautiful designs, free form, according to nature and personality and skill, they would paint. Then suppose you call them in, gather up all those independent, separate paintings and put them on that wall, assemble those pieces into a whole canvas again, having made a mosaic of canvases of 40 artists, we would discover that every picture fitted in with the next one, and in the center of the picture was the beautiful face of a man, Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened. The mosaic of all the writings of all the prophets of old began to flow and fit together. In the canonization of the Old Testament, the prophecy comes clear. and a single stream begins to form. And that stream led to the birth of Jesus Christ in a manger one starry night in Bethlehem. Everything pointed to it. And it was put together by God. For those who say this world just happened, you need to get some reality. Nothing just happens on its own like that. And this did not happen. Jesus Christ being born in a manger on that day and that time did not just happen. He is the center of everything. Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem in order that the prophecy might be fulfilled in the providence of God. And there in the fulfillment of all prophetic scripture, Jesus Christ is born. He did it on purpose. It was not accidental. It occurred by God's design to provide for our salvation. He said, a Savior has been born. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. He'd have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. And if our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. How does that work? On a breezy summer afternoon, a young dad and his daughter took a stroll up the mountain to enjoy a bit of time together. They were walking down a dusty trail and a rattlesnake was startled and plunged in, bit the little girl. She shrieked in terror. The snake slithered into tall grass. Instinctively, the dad grabbed the girl's leg, surveyed the wound, and he was miles from medical help, so he went. He knew that he had to do something, so he pulled a sharp knife out, cut the wound, and sucked the poison out. He picked her up and headed for the nearest medical help. He slumped into the chair as he got to the hospital and began to feel dizzy. The girl was fine. The doctor checked the dad and was soon to learn that the poison from the snake had made its way into his bloodstream via a sore in his mouth. He died and she lived. This is what Jesus did for us. He died so that we might live. His death on the cross paid the price for our sins. The one who lives eternally came to die so we who were dying eternally, might come to live. He came to sacrifice himself for us that we could live. It was also by design to him come to rule as sovereign. He is Christ, the Lord. We often fall in temptation of wanting to give the acclaim to those around us. There are a lot of folks out there today, especially, who just want people to remember their name. It kills me at the voting times when you hear these commercials and they just say the guy's name over and over and over and over and over and you want to say, shut up. Why do they do that? Because they want people to remember their name. There are a lot of folks out there that are trying to get honor and glory on themselves. Many people go to almost any length to assure that everybody's going to know their name. Some of them's infamous. I don't think Hitler. Or how about Judas? Napoleon. Not good names. Let me tell you something. That little baby in that manger, he was given the most awesome names ever. Emmanuel. God with us. Wonderful. Counselor. He decided to come as a man. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let me put it like this. There will come a day where you'll meet this baby. There'll come a day when you'll see this child. He'll be grown up. He'll have scars in his hand. He'll have wounds in his hands and his feet and a wound in his side. But you'll see him, and you will bow down before him, whether you're a saved child of God or not. The only difference is, one, you'll get to spend the rest of your eternity with him. The other, he'll say, depart from me because I never knew you. You see, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Not the name of Randy, not the name of Dan, or anybody else's name, but at the name of Jesus, all knees shall bow. Christmas also occurred because of God's decision. It says, a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. He decided to come as a man. In Hebrews 4:14, he says, God came to walk among us so that he might wrap his arms around us. Man. He didn't have to do that. Can you imagine being sitting at the right hand of God Almighty, and God says, you need to go down there and you need to tell them about me. You need to go up there and tell them. Show them the path. You need to do something for them that they cannot do themselves. And let's live a perfect sinless life, and your blood needs to be shed because of it. And Jesus said yes. And he decided to come as a man. He also decided to call out to men. He said, this will be a sign unto you. You'll find, what? A babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. In Jeremiah, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found of you, declares the Lord. 2,000 years ago, a baby was born. He says, are we seeking him or is he seeking us? Well, I think it's both. I think he's desperately seeking each and every one of us. And I think we should be seeking him. There are a lot of folks in this world today, at Christmas time especially, they'll hear the Christmas story and they'll say, yeah, Jesus born in a manger, he did all this. But you know what? There's so much more to the story. It's about him growing up, living a perfect life. Him sacrificing himself for us. Calling upon his name. Far from the city of Jerusalem, there's an Israeli postal workers. They sort through huge piles of undeliverable mail. We've all seen, Miracle on 32nd Street, and we've all had kids who wrote letters to Santa, and they sent it to the post office. Well, it's a dilemma for the post office. Well, there are people who send letters to God. Included among these dead letters are many addressed to God, and some have been forwarded by foreign postal workers to Israel because they think that maybe Israel knows what to do with them since it's their God. Eventually, all these petitions to God end up at a recycling plant in central Israel. They're trying to get a hold of God. They're trying to send a petition to God. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Unless our communications to God is through Jesus Christ, this little baby, unless we go through him, we cannot get to God. We're sure to have the same fate as those dead letters in Israel. Jesus is the only way we can make a connection with God. And that's why he came. And that's what Christmas is all about. Is that his love, his design, his desire. It's all there. He's done everything for us in order to come to him. He loved us enough to come to him. For us to come to him, he lived a perfect life among obvious sinners, and he died for us. And he's given us the opportunity to address God through him. He's given us the opportunity to live forever through Jesus Christ, His sacrifice. And so we sit here today and we look at the manger scene and a little baby. And we're supposed to get all kinds of joyous that a baby was born 2,000 years ago. Okay, that's fine. But that's only part of the story. The rest of the story is the why. Why did He do it? And what was the result of Him doing it? All the information has been presented. The why He did it. And so the only question is, why haven't we accepted Him as our Savior? If you're here today and you've accepted Him as your Savior, Christmas should be a great reminder of the great joy that we felt when we asked Him to come dwell within us, to live forever. If you're a believing child of God, it should be the focus of Christmas. It should be the focus of every day of your life. If you're not, if you've never asked Christ into your life to actually went through Jesus. Now you may believe Jesus is the Son of God. You may believe He came and He died on the cross of Calvary. You may believe all that. But unless you've had that experience with Him, that relationship with Him, unless you've called on Him, you'll never have the great joy and you'll never have the peace that He expects us to have in our hearts and our lives. So why not? Are you looking for Him? Are you trying to find God? Are you looking for God in all the wrong places? In all the wrong things? Stop. It's through Jesus Christ. The greatest Christmas gift I could get this year and the greatest Christmas gift you could get is maybe come to the realization that you're lost and dying without Jesus. And come to know Him as your Savior. To ask Him into your heart and your life. To trust and believe in Him. It'd be the greatest gift that you could ever get. Let me tell you something. It's the greatest gift I ever got. Some 45 years ago. And I still remember that gift. And I hope and pray that you will do the same. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I just know that we all need Jesus in our lives. I pray that if you're here today and you're a saved child of God, that you'll have great joy. You'll have great joy in your heart, in your life, especially at Christmas, because you remember, you'll know what He's done for you, and that all the other things of life really doesn't matter. I pray and hope that if you're here today and you've never made that decision to follow Christ, that you'll do so. That you'll discover why it's such a wonderful time of the year to celebrate and worship Jesus. So as we sing this morning, would you come and would you follow Jesus? I hope that you've decided to do just that as we sing.